Thank you for such a feast.
Dass du solche Speise für uns vorbereitet hast.
That you have prepared such food
Amen.
For us. Amen.
Auch für die Versammlung.
Yes, we also thank you for the meeting this evening.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, welch ein wunderbares Lied eigentlich.
What a wonderful song, actually.
So ein Lied müssen wir langsam genießen.
We have to enjoy this song slowly. It's concerning the entire purpose of God. Abba Father.
Wir haben noch, wie viele Versammlungen?
How many more meetings do we have? Four, including this one.
Ich hoffe, dass wir es schaffen.
I hope that we can make it. But we always made it somehow.
Ja, Herr Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus, show us more what is in your heart.
Lob den Herrn. Wir haben gesehen,
praise the Lord.
Diejenigen, die in diesem Bereich
we have seen
kommen,
that those who come into this area of the inner court are those who are faithful
wunderbaren, lebendigen Gott.
To the wonderful living God. They're faithful to Him. We all have to learn
nicht
this.
Dem Menschen folgen.
Not to follow man.
Das heißt nicht, wir brauchen nicht
that
einander.
Does not mean
wir
that we do not need
einander.
One another. We do need each other.
Alle Heiligen.
We appreciate all the saints. We love the brothers.
Ich glaube, damals,
I believe
die Heiligen haben sicherlich
in those days
Aposteln auch sehr geschätzt.
Surely the saints also appreciated Johannes, the apostles Paul,
Matthäus, Jakobus,
Peter, James,
Judas,
Matthew, Jude,
und auch sogar Lukas und
and even Luke and Mark,
und jung und alt,
both young and old. There were many brothers that the Lord used. And yet,
so sehr auch der Herr diese Brüder benutzt haben,
the Lord
unsere Treue
used these, although the Lord has used these brothers so much, yet our loyalty, our faithfulness is not towards them. Who is more
Herr
glorious
Jesus
than God, than our Lord Jesus Christ? Who created us?
Wer hat uns gerettet?
Who saved us?
Wer hat sein Blut für dich vergossen?
Who shed his blood for you?
Ich danke dem Herrn, Paulus sagte,
I thank the Lord that Paul said that
Paulus
we are nothing.
Was?
What did Paul say? Were you baptized into my name?
Bin ich für euch gekreuzigt?
Was I crucified for you?
Ich habe schon mal irgendwo gehört.
Somewhere
ja,
I heard something like this. Oh, we owe everything to so and so. We owe him. Did he give birth to you? No. So to whom do you owe your human life? Yes, your parents. Yes, practically, it's your parents that you owe your human life to.
Wer hat dich gerettet?
And who saved you?
Der Herr.
The Lord.
Wer hat, ja, so einen hohen Preis für dich bezahlt?
And who paid such Paulus, a high price for you? Paul?
Johannes?
John?
Petrus?
Peter?
Der Papst?
The Pope?
Nicht.
No.
Der Herr hat für uns bezahlt.
The Lord
Wer
paid the price for
Leben?
Us. And who is your life
Wer
today? Who lives in you? The Lord. Right? And who is able to bring you in there? It's the Lord.
So, wem bist du denn schuldig?
So, to whom do you owe it all?
Wir sind dem Herrn in allen Dingen schuldig.
We are indebted to the Lord in everything.
Er hat für uns so einen hohen Preis bezahlt.
He paid
so,
such a high price for us.
Würdig,
so who is worthy?
Dem du treu sein musst. Wer
to whom should we be faithful?
Treue?
Who is most worthy of your faithfulness?
Kein
it's the Lord and not, no man. No man is worthy of this.
So,
so praise the Lord.
Heute alle das klar sehen.
We all have to see this clearly today.
In der ganzen Geschichte,
in the entire history,
Menschen werden erhoben.
Man would be lifted up.
Hoch da geachtet.
Man would be honored.
Schon damals bei der Gemeinde in
Korinth, even those days in the church in Corinth, some said that I belong to Paul. And others, no. Oh, I am of Christ. Okay, you're Christly. Some said that I belong to Peter, Cephas, and some liked Apollos.
Was sind wir heute?
And what are we today?
Herr Jesus,
Lord Jesus.
Wir folgen hier keinen
here, we do not follow any
der
man.
Herr ist der höchste.
The Lord is the highest in the church.
Vielleicht magst du sagen,
perhaps
okay,
you may say, okay, he is number one.
Ich bin der Numero
and I am number two. No, no.
Auch die zweite Stelle gehört nicht dir.
Even okay, number two, the position does not belong to you. Okay, the third place, how about that, Toby? How about the fifth place, the sixth place?
Besetzt.
They're all occupied. The Lord is the first
und der
and the last.
So, wo stehst du denn?
So, where do you stand? In which position? Even the very last one. Even for that position, you are not worthy. What position do you have in the church? First? No. Second place? No. It's the last one. Not even that. Isn't that wonderful? What a relief, a release.
Oh, Herr, und
oh Lord,
sehen wir, wenn ihr
and we see
liest,
that when we read Ezekiel,
in, Kapitel 43,
in
Herr,
chapter 43, the glory of the Lord, after the this temple was built, the Lord, Ezekiel saw that the glory of the Lord entered in through the east gate and entered in this through this inner gate, and praise the Lord, he returned to his house. That is what John testified, Johannes. And because the Lord entered in through this gate, and he went in further through the east gate, the Lord gave a law. He gave that's a precept. God, Jehovah, he entered in through this gate. The east gate always has to be closed. No one is allowed to enter in through the east gate. No one else is allowed to go through this gate. What does this has to tell us? What does this tell us? What does this tell us?
Dieses Tor hier wird ersten
this gate, the east gate,
sechsten Tage
in the inner court,
Sabbats und Neumond.
It's closed on the sixth day, and it would only be opened on the Sabbath of the new moon. But not anyone or everyone could enter in, but only the prince of the people. He could only enter in up until there. And he could bring his offer at the gate, and the priest would come and receive his offering. And the people were only allowed to stand outside in the outer court and watch, just like Brother Caleb, who was peeking into the room to see what's happening inside. What does this tell us, dear brothers and sisters? This goes to show that the Lord is the greatest and no one could be compared to Him. No one is comparable. We must give Him all the honor. Because He went through this east gate, no one else is allowed to go through this gate. No one is worthy. Even if you were a prince, and the prince here, when he wants to eat of the offering, either he could come in through the south gate or the north gate into the outer court, and at most he could enter through this porch, and he's only allowed to eat the food because in the porch, because he's the prince. This, here in the south gate, and he cannot get out through the east gate because the east gate is not allowed to be opened, and he's not allowed to go through or go out of it. That means, brothers and sisters, in the house of the Lord, we must give Him the preeminence. No one is higher than He. No one is comparable to Him. No one is a pope here. We have no pope. Neither do we have any bishops. Bishops in the sense of a position. We must honor the Lord and give Him all the glory. Give Him all the honor and glory. We need to lift Him up. If we don't lift Him up, then we have a problem in the church. We would think that someone is somebody in the church. No, no. So praise the Lord for such a law here in the house of the Lord. It does us well and makes us healthy if we pay attention to this. Because oftentimes we have seen this in history, and even in the last 40 years we've seen this, how man would be so elevated, and in the end, people would give man the position which actually belonged to the Lord. So people would pay more attention to Him and not to the Lord. If there's a conflict, what He did, or as opposed to what the Lord said, who did they choose? Because they saw man in their eyes. And they neglected the Lord and looked and put Him down, and in the end, the man became more important than the Lord. We should never do this. We should never, ever do this in the church, whether it be Paul, Peter, John, no matter who he is. We really have to learn to see this. And this is very serious what God said. No one is allowed to enter in through this gate. No one. No one means no one. If you think you're special, no, no. You may go in through the south gate, the north gate, with all the other saints all together. And don't think that the others have to wait and let you go in first. No, no. All have the same right. They all enter through the south gate or the north gate. Yeah. We have to pay attention to this in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I believe many of us have learned this through all the things that we've gone through. Look, a few weeks or a few days ago, there in Rome at the Vatican, the people went crazy. And called him the Holy Father. Can you imagine that? Is he the Holy Father? Not at all. At most, the unholy one. But not the Father. Maybe, I don't know what. How can people call another person the Holy Father? Did the Lord not command or forbid this? Call no one the Father. No one can replace a Father in heaven. I already told you the story of what happened in, I believe, in 1977. Were you with us when we traveled to Rome? Yes. We were there in Rome, and it just so happened that at that time that the Pope showed up in the Vatican and was going to speak, and we did not know exactly when. So the brothers asked me, could you kind of find out exactly when he's going to speak? I was this blind tour guide at that time. I did not know at all when this Papa was going to show up. So I saw an elderly lady there, and she was an English woman. So I asked her, excuse me, when is the Pope going to appear? And she was offended. She said, you mean the Holy Father? She was so offended that I called him the Pope. And I was even more offended. I say, no, I mean the Pope. I mean the Pope. I was very offended because she said, the Holy Father. She turned around and walked away. What should I do? No, dear brothers and sisters, we don't have a Pope here in the church. The Lord does not need a representative here in the church. In my house, no one is my rep. Right? So praise the Lord. We have to learn this. This is a very important point that we all need to pay attention to in the book of Ezekiel. So when we read Ezekiel chapter 43, then you will notice this. And also chapter 46, you would notice that the east gate would totally be closed, and the east gate to the inner court would only be opened on the Sabbath day of the new moon, and only the prince is allowed to bring his offering, and the priest would take it from him and offer it up. And then we also mentioned that this gate, this inner gate, is a mirror image. It's a flip-flop because of the outer gate, because the porch becomes the entrance. If you don't pay attention, then you will think, oh, the porch should be way in the back. How could he go through the porch? If it's the same as the outer gate, then the porch is in the back. But in this inner gate, the porch is in front.
Diese Punkt müssen wir alle lernen.
We all have to learn
and
take note of this point. And there's another point in relationship to the entire thing. Compound, you see that it's 500 by 500.
Und das hier ist 50.
And here, the outer gate is 50. And the gate is 50. And then over here is 25. And here it's 150. And then another 100 and another 100. All the way in. And then you see this hallway is 10. There are so many 5s and 50 and 100. It goes to show that in this area is full of responsibility. When we're in the church and we're in the house of the Lord, don't think that we have nothing to do here. No. Do not think that we eat and drink and that's all we do. Yes, we eat and drink and we enjoy it here. But here in the house of the Lord, in the new man, we have much to do. We have responsibilities. Responsibility towards God and responsibility toward man. This number 10 shows us of the 10 commandments, all the righteous requirements of God. We should not think that God has no expectations of us. He has many requirements. He requires many things of us, especially if you are a priest. You have to read the book of Leviticus, the third book of Moses, or the fifth book of Moses, or Deuteronomy. There are so many things that we have to do. And that is what God expects. And then in the so-called Ten Commandments, there are two parts. The first 5 are for God. Our responsibility toward God. That's the number 5. The first number 5. And the second part, the last 5 commandments, are for us. Our responsibility toward man. So, 10 is composed of 5 and 5. Praise the Lord. So, the number 5 shows us that that's really a number that means responsibility. Who is then the number 5? Just as we are, we're only number 4. The number 4 in the Bible shows us the creation that God created. They're the 4 living creatures, you remember? And then there are the 4 winds, the 4 directions, and the 4 seasons in the entire creation. We see the number 4. Of course, the man is the head over the entire creation. So we are number 4. And how do we become number 5? There is a number 1. God is number 1. So when God comes into us, 4 plus 1, isn't that good? Look at your hand. Can you imagine you only have 4 fingers and you don't have a thumb?
Is that good?
Would it be beautiful? Then you cannot do anything, really so. You cannot work so well without your thumb. Don't you believe that? Try to cut it off. And the thumb is somewhat different than the other 4 fingers. Look at it. Right? So 4 plus 1 is the number 5. So when this wonderful living God comes into us, it's only then that we are able or capable to fulfill or to do the righteous requirements of God. And then, it's only then that we can fulfill them. And the Lord is actually the one who fulfilled them all for us. So praise the Lord. Today, the Lord is our life. And we see here, it's so wonderful in this area, God's plan, God's will would be fulfilled. Because man has failed. And one day, one man came. In the book of Hebrews, it shows us, and also in the Psalms, it says, "Behold, I came. I've come to do your will." The Lord said, "I have come to do your will." And it's really so. In his human life on this earth, the Lord fulfilled all the righteous requirements of God. What a man. Adam failed. The first man did not make it. But the second man, the last Adam, he made it. And today, he's living in us. But unfortunately, he only lives there. But he has to do much more in us, so that we would be like him. Now we show the two gates right now. We go further, let's take a look at the two gates again.
So, wir arbeiten zusammen.
So we work together. It's nice.
Das sind die zwei Toren, ja.
That's the two gates, right?
Ah ja, prima. Anders gemacht.
Praise the Lord.
Prima. Wir sehen, diese zwei Tore sind eigentlich gleich.
We see this outer gate and the inner gate are actually the same, but it's just a mirror image and it's flip-flop. And as we read, if we read it carefully, we would see that in the inner gate, these two posts here in front, they are towards the outer court. They are directed towards the outer court. If the porch were here, then the two posts would be towards the outer gate. It would be facing the inner court. But here, the Bible tells us that they're towards the outer court. It goes to show that this porch here is the entrance. It's the entrance to the inner gate. So if one would enter in past the outer gate, we come to the number 8. The porch in the outer gate has these dimensions, 8 cubits. And then we see, then you come to the 8 steps and you come to the 8 cubits of the porch in the inner gate. So you have 2 times 8 and then 3 times 8 and then there's the 8 steps. So what does the number 8 mean? It's the freshness, the result of the resurrection. Right? This power of resurrection has its effect and has a wonderful outworking. It's the freshness. So the resurrection in the Bible is not just that we're resurrected, but it's a renewal. There's a newness. There's the newness of life. Death indicate that everything that was old was buried, and through the baptism, when you come out of the water, you have to walk in newness of life. That means in this area, in the outer porch, in the outer gate, there's something that's happening. There's a renewal. There's a transformation. And the transformation comes through the power of the resurrection in us. Don't think that the resurrection is just means that we rose from the dead. Of course, one day, yes, that would happen. But spiritually speaking, today in the experience, it is through this power of resurrection, and it's through the life, the resurrected life, that we are transformed. The more we experience the power of resurrection, the more we will be renewed and transformed. Paul said in Romans 8 that the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, where is he today? He dwells in you. And what does this Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, what does this Spirit do in you? Do you know that when the Lord resurrected from the dead, it was through this wonderful Spirit of holiness that he was appointed as the Son, the firstborn Son of God in his humanity. So it is through this wonderful power of resurrection, and it's through this power. It's not a small power. Because Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that the same power that worked in Christ, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the death, the same power dwells in us. This is an exceeding great power. You think it's once for all? You think it's once for all you would praise the Lord? No, that would be nice. But when we go through all so many problems of the flesh and of the self, we are very much poisoned by this poison of the serpent. So the Lord has to use the Spirit of the power of his resurrection to neutralize the poison in us, to take the poison out of us, bit by bit. So when we go through this vacation, this resort, with all these beautiful palms in the outer gate, and where there's much light, much radiation, much shining of the light, and you come through the first, you keep going through the gates, you get more light and more life, and he's able to save us to the uttermost. More life, more salvation, more growth as you go through the gate. And you see how this power of resurrection works in us. And that's why Paul wants to experience the power of his resurrection. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Don't you want to experience the power of his resurrection? Why do you lose your temper? Why are you offended so quickly? That's because the death reigns in you. You cannot control yourself. Romans 5 says, the sin came and the death came with the sin, and the sin reigns in you. So when death reigns in you, you cannot overcome yourself. You have no power, no strength. And Paul said, oh, what wretched man that I am. Who can save me from the body of this death? Not just the body of sin, but it's a body of death. So from this we see that in many things we are incapable of being watchful. We are weak. I'm sorry. We need the power of resurrection in us to swallow up the death day by day in you. Through this wonderful resurrection life, through all the palms, the power of life, the Lord says, I am the life, and not only so, but he says that I am the resurrection and the life. It's the life that overcame death. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15, it's so precious for us. And here we see, in the porch of the outer gate, you see the dimension of 8. And from here on, you see the number 8. Praise the Lord. I believe that when we consider, look at our experience in the last years, you see that there are many saints came to the church, and with time you see the transformation. Praise the Lord. Especially your wife has to see the transformation in you. That's the best testimony. If your wife does not see it, nobody actually sees it. Really so. If you'd like to know whether a brother is transformed, go to the wife and ask her. And she'll tell you the truth. Oh, he's still the same as before. That is not a good testimony. Praise the Lord. The more we go on with the Lord, the more there is a transformation through the power of life, through the power of resurrection. And the resurrection in the Bible is a birth. Something new would be brought forth. The Lord not only resurrection, the Lord was not only risen, but through the resurrection he became something else. He became the new man. And through his death and resurrection, he brought forth the new man, a new creation. When we in the church and in the house of the Lord, year for year, we still remain the same old us, then we don't know this life. You only have the teachings. Yet one does not see, people do not see the transformation. People do not see the newness of life in you. And you are not walking in the newness of life. And if that does not happen, then we have to repent and say, Lord, why am I still the same? If you're living, then you have to grow. If I compare your baby picture to your present picture, you look very different. Can you imagine if Günther would still look like the baby he was? That would be terrible. You're grown. And through growth, there are changes and transformation, etc. But this table here, I've seen this table here since 1982. How many years? My goodness, almost 31 years. It's still the same table. It remained the same. There's no transformation, no growth. It just became a little older. Worn out. But the saints in Stuttgart maintained it well, so that's why it still looks so nice. But you know, there's no change. It remained the same.
Wenn wir im Hause des Herrn Jahr für
when
Jahr
we
immer noch dasselbe
remain the same year after year in the church,
keine gute Nachricht.
That's not good news.
Dann stimmt was nicht.
Then something's wrong.
Nicht das Haus des Herrn.
Then we're not the house of the Lord. No.
So, jetzt sehen wir,
so now we see, praise the Lord.
Nummer 8.
We see the number 8.
Taucht auf.
The number 8 starts appearing
so
in the porch of the outer gate.
Liebe
it's so
Zahl.
Wonderful. I love this number 8. Or don't you?
Don't you love number 8?
Don't you love number 8?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Wir lieben diese Zahl.
We love this number. Hallelujah.
Es ist so schön. Durch diese Jahre
it's so nice. I have to say, throughout these years, I've known some of these saints for many years, and I can testify that they are not the same. It's so wonderful. Even some young people, they have changed. Glorious. They became more glorious. They're grown. They have grown. And they're different. And that's how it has to be in the house of the Lord. We'll come to this number 8 and then in the inner gate, in this area, hopefully there's no longer much of the natural man to see. When you come to this point of the porch in the outer gate, you are one who has learned not to live in your natural self. Your life is quite different. You're no longer in the natural realm. Paul said that the natural man receives nothing of God, but the spiritual man can see through all things, searches all things. So praise the Lord. We begin with the outer gate and then we come in and to the inner gate. The inner gate is actually a continuation. This mirror image is actually a continuation, an extension. And if we could glue these two gates together, and without the 8 steps there, then it's exactly the same. It's a flip-flop. But here we go 8 steps higher into the inner gate. Praise the Lord. It's so wonderful. I cannot explain it. I cannot explain everything. It doesn't work. I'm not that capable. But I'd like to tell you, you have to dream of the number 8. Tonight you go home. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, let me dream of this number 8. I want to go up these 8 steps. Not just the 7 steps from the outer gate. Now I want to go up the 8 steps of the inner gate. That means praise the Lord. In this area we will be transformed. There's a change in our lives. We cannot serve the Lord in the oldness of the letter. That's what Romans chapter 7 tells us. In this serving the Lord, we have to serve in the newness of the Spirit. When we still serve according to our flesh, and we serve in our natural mind, and you have your self, your I, and I have my preference, what kind of a service would that be in the church? There will be confusion. There will be fighting. And there would still be fightings in the church. I heard here and there. There's still a problem there. Our testimony is the oneness. We sing here, hallelujah, we are one. Are you really one? In the locality where you are, the oneness is not just during the conference. You come to the conference, you're one, and when you go home, then you start fighting. It's nice.
Das geht nicht so.
It doesn't work this way. Learn, dear brothers and sisters, to leave yourself. But without the power of a resurrection, you're not able to leave the self. And then you're afraid to die. Because you think that if you die, then it's all over. No. On the third day, there's resurrection. And you'll be renewed. You experience the power of life. And so, many things I heard here. It's a test to see where you are. So now we all have to say, Lord, I want to go in through the second gate. Don't you have the longing, claimants, to go in to this gate? Yes, praise the Lord. And you would also land there. You don't need such a long time. No. No, no. So if we're diligent, just like what Peter said, soon you will be here. You do not have to wait till eternity to come to this inner gate. And so through this gate here, of the inner gate, only the sons of Zadok are allowed to enter in. And this is an area of service, of ministry towards the Lord. The service here is very different. We see that in this gate, you see that there are four tables of stone. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four tables. Praise the Lord. And there's a wash chamber here, not to wash you, but to wash all the offerings, to clean all the offerings. And then, after it's slaughtered, it's slain, and it's washed, then you will bring all these offerings and put them in onto the tables in the porch. The priest would bring all these offerings all the way to the altar. That's inside. So in this area, it's not that we're only allowed to enter in, but this area is an area of the wonderful service. The priests who are now in, who live and serve in this area, they have to do with the most holy offerings, the different offerings. And we know that in the scripture, and also Leviticus, and also in the book of Hebrews, and the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see that the Lord is the reality of all the offerings. Oftentimes we say, oh yes, for me to live is Christ. It's easy to say. But how rich and how many aspects are there of this Christ? Actually, sometimes I like to challenge one of the young brothers who have been in the church life for so long to come and tell us in the book of Deuteronomy and in the Leviticus, in the first seven chapters in Deuteronomy, in the five offerings, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and all the laws and ordinances, etc. How are you going to prepare all these five offerings? And there's the peace offering, of course. All these offerings show how our Christ is. But I'm afraid many saints only know our Lord as the sin offering or the trespass offerings. And as to the other offerings, do you know them? The Lord as our burnt offering, do you know Him as such? Do you enjoy Him day by day as your burnt offering? Tell me honestly. Did you say every day, Lord, you are my burnt offering? No. No. Should I ask further? Better not. If I were to ask further, and we would say, oh, what's that? The burnt offering. Right? Oftentimes we just enjoy the Lord as a sin offering because we have committed so many sins. Oh, Lord, thank you for your precious blood. You are my sin offering. It's okay. It's also fine because the Lord truly is our sin and trespass offering. But here we see that the priests have to be so familiar with all the offerings, the burnt offering, the peel offering, the peace offering. These are the three offerings. These come first. And after that comes the sin and the trespass offering. Then what is the burnt offering? In brief, the burnt offering means that the Lord, when the Lord came to this earth, just like what Hebrews said, says, behold, you gave a body have you given to me. What for? That I can be an athlete, or I could be a winner in the Olympics, or a soccer master. Why did the Lord have a body? What kind of an offering? Behold, I came. Just as we have mentioned, I came to do your will. That's the very first thing. The Lord came to this earth, not firstly for your sins, to die for your sins. I'm sorry to say that. It's not that we do not appreciate the Lord as our sin offering, but first and foremost, when he came to this earth, our Lord came to this earth is to satisfy God's plan. I do all things at all times that's pleasing to him. That's the foremost reason why the Lord came to this earth. And how is it with your life? Do you always do all things that are pleasing to him or not? No. Then you need a burnt offering. Then you need the Lord as your burnt offering. Oh Lord, I want to be like you. I want to lead such a life as you did. Otherwise, my life. So I have a body on this earth. What should I do with this body? I go play soccer? Go do sports? I play ping pong. And play kung fu. And what would you want to do? What would you want to be? To be a swimmer? What do you want to do with your body? It's too bad that you have a body and yet you don't do everything that's pleasing to the Father. So what are you doing with your body? Go dance? You go eat? I don't mean here in the dining hall. In the gate. Take vacation. What do you do with your body? Ask my sister. She always asked me, oh, I invite you to go on a cruise. I always told her, I have no time, sorry.
Right, Shirley?
Right, Shirley? And somebody, if somebody would you invite you to the cruise and pay everything for you, what would you do? No, thank you. Would you say that? Why? Oh, because it's forbidden in the church? Is it forbidden? Then why would you say no, thank you? And no desire? You have no joy? You don't need any rest? No, thank you. Why? Because there's so much to do. There's so much to do in the service to the Lord. I have no time. When Jesus came to this earth, everything that he did, everywhere he went, his entire life was for the will of the Father. And this is our burnt offering. That means every part of this offering would rise to the Father as a sweet-smelling savor, an aroma to the Father. So we all have to learn, Lord, I want to experience you as my burnt offering. Otherwise, as a priest who serves here, if someone brings a bullock to you and says, Matthias, can you help me to bring this burnt offering to the Father, you'll be scratching your head and says, what do you mean, burnt offering? Should I just burn everything in the fire and that's it? And the one who wants to offer such a burnt offering, he gets the fur to put on the skin of the offering. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, Herr, normale Mensch, normalerweise, Gott hat uns Menschen geschaffen für ihn.
Actually, God created man for him, for himself, but in the end, we're for ourselves and not for God. So the Lord is our burnt offering, so it would be brought here. So Toby, what would you do with your burnt offering? So I say, Toby, here's a bullock. Could you please offer it up for me as a burnt offering? What would you say? So what should I do with it? So as a priest, the sons of Zadok who are serving, you have to be familiarize yourself with the burnt offering and say, Lord, I want to receive you as one who lives fully for you. My time belongs to you. My strength, my power belongs to you. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Paul was an example for us. Even Peter and many brothers there, they gave themselves fully to the Lord. Such a consecration. The Lord is our consecration. Praise the Lord. This is our burnt offering. So today you have to learn this. And the Lord is our meal offering. And this meal offering shows the pure and wonderful humanity of Christ. Just as we sung today, what a man so fine, so pure, so good, so holy, so perfect. There is no leaven in him. And sin was not found in him. He was tempted in all things, and yet no sin. And yet he did no sin. What a man. A wonderful man. This humanity, Jesus, his humanity is our food, as our meal offering. So all the priests have to learn this, to eat this offering. What a bread of life that we enjoy tonight. This food. The Passover feast is not the lamb that the lamb was slain, but at the same time it's also called the feast of the unleavened bread. That means when we eat the Passover lamb, at the same time we have to enjoy the unleavened bread. Even longer than the lamb. The lamb you eat just for one day, but the unleavened bread, you have to eat it for a whole week. And during the time that we eat, you and I eat of this bread, we also have to be willing and ready to do away with all the leaven. You cannot say, I want to eat of this unleavened bread.
den Sauerteig gehalten.
And you keep the leaven in you.
So was gibt's nicht.
Du kannst There's no such thing.
Nicht halten,
you cannot keep such a feast if you are not willing.
Auch Sauerteig, der in dir ist.
To get rid of the leaven that is in you. Are you willing to get rid of yourself, the flesh, the hidden sin, your habits, everything that's fallen in you? Of course, we need much light here in the outer gate. All the light here in the outer gate would expose all this leaven in us so that we can do away with them. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Your boast is not good. Why? Because you still tolerate the leaven in the church in Corinth. And Paul said that, don't you know that Christ is our Passover who has been slain for us? And we celebrate the feast of the unleavened bread, and we get rid of all the leaven. Otherwise, how can we eat of this bread at the table, and at the same time we have no feeling of the leaven that's still in us? What are we celebrating here? We sing hallelujah for this feast. Now I caught you. I got you. How do we celebrate this feast? With leaven or without leaven? And are you willing to put away all the leaven, the leaven of the evil and all the poison? It's healthy for us. We have such a table before us. We want to take part in such an unleavened bread, so that we would also get the life and the power or the strength to do away with this leaven. Praise the Lord. And the priests have to be familiar with such a meal offering. Right? And do not forget, there's frankincense there, which indicates the resurrection of the Lord, and it's salted. So we see such a humanity of the Lord. When he was on, everywhere he went on this earth, he released the taste of the living God. And when the people drew near to him, they tasted the living God. They noticed that this man is different. God is with man. And they noticed that God is with man in the man Jesus Christ. That's why in John chapter 1, it says, no one has ever seen the Father, but the only begotten Son of the Father, he has manifested him. He expressed him. The Lord has this wonderful, proper taste. Not too salty and yet not tasteless. It's exactly right. So you have to tell the Lord, Lord, you taste good. And some time ago we bought some olives. But as we ate them, it was so salty. It looked so nice. It was too salty. That's not good. But the Lord is just right. What a wonderful offering. And this offering, as a meal offering, is to be prepared in different ways. And you also have to learn this.
Und das bedeutet, dass unser
Now, that means that when our Lord lived on this earth, he went through different types of sufferings. He would be roasted, he'd be cooked, and he'll be bored through, drilled through, and he'll be made flat. Like a flat bread, a pancake. Would you like to be flattened? I believe you don't like for people to make to flatten you in the church. And then has to go through fire. The Lord went through all types of sufferings. Did we not see this in the Psalms? How many types of sufferings did the Lord go through for us? In many different types of ways, he became such a bread. You see, in Germany here, you have so many kinds of bread. No, you have the pretzel. Of course, if there's leaven, that's no good. But I just want to show you the variety. Don't think that our Lord is so boring. Every day you'd just be eating pretzel, pretzel, and more pretzel. That's not good. But our Lord is prepared in many different ways. Just like this bread is for us to enjoy. And you know that when you have eaten of such a bread, then you would also be willing to be like the Lord, to go through much sufferings. But if you don't know this bread, then it's not possible. Just like Paul said, the fellowship of his sufferings. For Paul, this is not a teaching. How could Paul say something like that? Oh, I want to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. Why? Because Paul has tasted how wonderful this bread is. Paul knew the Lord as such a meal offering. So in the end, he was fully willing to give himself, also to be killed. He was fully ready and willing. He was willing to suffer. He was ready to suffer, not just to have to suffer, but also to give his life. He wanted to be like the Lord. He even said to be conformed to his death. What a knowing of this wonderful Lord as the meal offering. And now in the church life, we go through a couple of problems and it already becomes too hot for us. We go through a problem and then we start fanning. Oh, it's getting too hot. No, we cannot overcome. And in the end, there will be problems. So many problems. No one is willing or ready to suffer. Paul did say, are you not, won't you rather suffer some injustice? Why do we always want to be right? You know, the Lord had the right and the others were unjustified. So who should suffer? The one who was right or the one who is not right? Tell me, Lobi. The one who is not right should be suffering, but with the Lord it's just the other way around. So, which kind would you like to be? Would you like to be like the Lord? Or would you like to be like those who are wrong and they live well? And why can we not overcome in the church? Because many of us have not yet learned to eat of such a meal offering.
Wir haben nicht gelernt.
We have not yet learned. We fight with one another.
Und dann, wenn du mich nicht hörst,
and then if you don't listen to me, out you go. Not even out the door, but out of the window. That's how fast it goes. And etc. There are many problems.
Was sollen wir tun?
What should we do?
So, hier, wenn wir hier sind,
so if we're here in the inner gate, it says, you might think, oh, I just go right through. No, no, no. You still have a lot to learn. You still have to learn to slaughter, not to slaughter the saints. No, no. You have to learn to slaughter the offerings, to prepare. You have to learn how one is to prepare the peace offering. The Lord is our peace offering. We all know Ephesians chapter 2, He is our peace, and yet we don't have a peace in the church. How is this possible? Right? There's so many aspects here. Here, we have to learn so that we can bring Him to the altar over there. There's a big altar. Right after you come out of the inner gate, you come right to the altar. Praise the Lord for the altar. There's a big altar. You can see for yourself in this outline here, there's a big altar. You know, brothers and sisters, who goes to this altar? The Lord. You and I, we cannot go to this altar. It's not possible. But you can only make it with the Lord as your offering. With the Lord. The Lord is the one who went onto this altar and offered up himself for you. Paul did not say, I died. As if he died alone. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Don't try to be crucified. Don't try to crucify yourself. Should I crucify you? No, no. Surely you won't. You would not be willing. Then when would you be willing to be crucified? Not alone. But with Christ, it is so simple and so beautiful and so wonderful. When we have enjoyed such an offering and we have known and experienced such an offering, the more we experience this, the more we will be on this altar. Let's take a look at the diagram of the altar. Oh, it's already after 9. Forget it. Tomorrow then. Sorry, brothers, just forget it for now.
So,
if we enjoy the Lord as all these offerings, I'm sure you would be very willing to be on the altar with the Lord. What did Paul say? I bear about me the death of Christ, the dying of Christ, on my body. The putting to death of Christ in my body. Not that Paul was so volunteering there like a hero to die for the saints. No, no, I don't think anyone is that willing. Even Paul was not ready to do that. You know, he had tried to kill the Christians. But after he got to know Christ, and he said, what do I carry about with me? Not just the death, but the putting to death, the willingness to be put to death. Paul said, we are daily brought to slaughter. Because he knew this wonderful offering. So I don't believe he was so willing to be brought to the slaughterhouse, because the Lord alone is able to do that. So although this altar is so wonderful and it's so big, and it sits in the center of the entire temple compound, and yet we still see that it's not that you yourself are supposed to go up there. No, no. In any case, it's so high that you would be like Peter. You say, Lord, I will go with you. I'll go all the way up with you. And then he made the first step, or perhaps even the second step. And then he says, no, no. And he turned around and went down. Did Peter not do that? Lord, I will go with you all the way to the cross. And he followed a couple steps. Didn't he go follow him and follow steps, a couple of steps, and then he turned around? You know the story. So if you would climb up to this altar by yourself, I can guarantee you. Do you know how tall this altar is? And there is a long staircase going up. Halfway, you would climb down again. Every step, as you go higher, the more your heart would be beating in you. And then you might get a heart attack and someone else have to carry you down. That's how it is. We are not capable. We're not able to get up there. Or are you able to do so? Who is able to do so? That's why we need to know such an offering and enjoy it and experience it daily. In order to become sons of Zadok, of course, first of all, there has to be the faithfulness. Then if we're faithful, in that we experience Christ in a rich way. Paul experienced this Christ in such a wonderful way, and he wanted to be conformed to him, to have the same image. How are we going to be conformed to him? To be like him, in that day by day we would experience and enjoy these offerings faithfully. Then we will be like him. Otherwise, no one can be like him. Praise the Lord. So when we want to enjoy Christ, we have to know him in all the different aspects and be familiar with such a Christ as a burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, and then you truly have the peace with all people. We can't even have peace with one another in some churches. It's so sad. So what should you do? Force it? Force the peace? That does not work. But praise the Lord. We have a peace offering. When we know that him in such a way, then we would have no problem. Praise the Lord. So let's sing this. We'd like to sing that song. Oh, to be like thee. Let's sing this song together. What's the number?